What up, what up? We gonna get right into it. Hold on a second.
With this list. Something to Whatever Face podcast.
Oh, but you at least gotta get the name right.
Is that not it?
Whatever Face. Is it that what it's called?
No, that's what they said it was called. Okay, Whatever Face podcast.
What's happening? I got Reason Face and JID Face. I got family here. I got the CJ from
who looks like Jet? Jet looks like a chipmunk.
I mean, I could assume that's me if I had dreads. I ain't gonna lie. It's close.
Nah, I got my brothers up here. I got the incredible Deke, and I got the spicy bro, CJ.
Right now, spicy bros for life, bro. What's up with you?
Not a whole lot. You two gentlemen, we were having a off mic discussion about why it's a terrible idea to share your clothes rings with your friends because.
Yes. Yeah. So I'll give you the backstory about that. Long story short, it's basically a workout competition between me and my girlfriend right now. And yeah, we both in a lot of pain because of the spirit of competition and being competitive. So, but at least it's comforting knowing that it's just not me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, she's in just as much pain. Like, we went to go sit down like a few minutes ago and have dinner, and we both was getting on the bar stools like, slow motion.
Now, do you go to the gym with your wife, or have you tried to drag her to the gym with you? And how does that normally work out?
We both got a membership at the same gym. So I go in the morning. Like, y'all already know, I go the 5:15 class. And then she usually goes at her class is usually at 7:30. And then other days she'll go after work.
Okay.
But yeah, we never work out the same time because with the kids and stuff and everything, yeah, the schedule just work. We just try to work out ways that work for each other with the schedules and everything.
Triple entendres in there, workout ways, I see what you're doing. You ain't got bars.
But you in there every day, like literally Monday through Friday, every day at 5:15 in the morning. So shout out to you.
Yeah, facts. I appreciate
that. You know, even when I'm not working out and, you know, I'm in my, you know, unhealthy spaces and binge eating and all of that, that's inspiring to see still. You know what I mean? You consistent. You've been doing this for a minute already. So I commend you for that.
It ain't inspiring, nigga. Not to me. I'm like, take a day off. I can have an excuse not to go.
Anyway, bro, like, you got the Frozone body for years already, right? You just out here gliding.
Nah, but because everybody here is competitive, I feel like when Christian's in a gym, I'd be like, dang, man. All right, I guess I'll go. Mm-hmm. Do it. Mm-hmm. And when CJ, when you were on your kick where you were working out like you were training for something, I said, I did.
See, that's always been me though. Like, I'm the most consistent guy I know. Like, when it comes to working out. Like, I get in these pockets where I want to work out like I'm trying to fight in 3 months, and then I just fall off for like a couple weeks, and you know, but that's what, you know. It's my thing with working out is this, right? I feel like working out is one of those things where your body tells you when you need it most. You know
facts,
what I mean?
Facts, yep.
From everything, from how your physical feels to how your mental, like, you know what I'm saying? It does so much for you, but your body is literally going to tell you when you need that. Facts. And it's up to you whether you want to listen to it and do something about it, or if you're just going to continue to just be in your unhealthy ways, which sometimes life be life in, and it do be like that. I understand that as well, but you know, that's just how I always looked at working out. So
facts. No, I agree with CJ. Like me and him be talking in the chat, you know. I do it more so, you know, for my family and stuff like that, because I want to be here when my kids get older and everything like that. So it's just, you know, that's my how can I say that? That's what drives me to go every morning, you know. Mm-hmm. Just being healthy for them and everything, so I can be active as they get older. So and then, you know, as minorities and stuff, when it comes to health and stuff like that, you know, as we get older, we get affected a lot, you know, with mm-hmm. the colon cancer, all that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
it's just good to focus on health early and, you know, just have like a routine and stuff like that, you know, and everything. It's just good
That's
to focus on stuff like that.
That's a fact.
All right, healthy guys. I'm going to get us into a healthy debate. A lot of stuff has been going on, but the reason why I wanted you two gentlemen up here is because we got a lot to discuss. Mm-hmm. One of those being WrestleMania. I'll start.
Ooh. Greatest WrestleMania of all time. Facts.
Yo, it's getting, you know what, as the days pass and we're unpacking and this kind of settling in, it's getting harder and harder to debate against that.
You know what? You know what's funny about it? It's because I think a lot of it has to do with the era that we live in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because of the era we live in, we're able to see how people are reacting to certain things and stuff.
Yeah.
Like that.
It's immediate that adds
to it and stuff. You got grown men. Look, the video I sent y'all with Paul Logan and them, they were grown men crying when Cody Rose, you know what I'm saying?
But you know what's crazy too? Like, when you unpack that and you factor in all of those factors, like, you know what I'm saying? The fact that WrestleMania has been one way our whole lives, and we all know that Vince McMahon was kind of the yes and no behind everything.
WrestleMania.
So for this one to be the first one in the Triple H era, for it to be on the midst of one of the biggest, if not the biggest scandal in wrestling history with this whole McMahon thing, but it to be, you know what I'm saying, not even a full calendar year before TKO Group took over and they did the merger with them and UFC. Yep. Like, you know, so once you start factoring in all those things and you know what I'm saying, kind of take those into account, and then you go back and you watch how, like, if you watch this year's WrestleMania, it's really hard to argue against how great it was. Like, we saw things that we've never seen in WWE before, and they're small things, but the impact behind them is huge. This is the first time that we ever had a logo placed dead center in the middle of the ring for both nights. Mm-hmm. The Prime logo was in the middle of the ring for both nights. So that's just a testament of how their relationship with Logan Paul is going and what that looks like. You know what I'm saying? Then you had like the other sponsors like flashing on the barricades and on the ring skirts, and, you know, during matches, during breaks, like the production quality, they've always been at the top of the game with that as far as the wrestling industry. But now they're doing things that we didn't even think they were on those type of like little tricks and stuff like that. So it really just goes to show like what's going on with WWE and how Triple H is adapting in his role. Yeah. And man, both nights was fire. I think
Hold on a second. I don't want to get into the cards just yet. Christian, okay. I want you to comment on CJ's point about the changes that we've seen, even with it being Triple H's era, because he said a lot of stuff. And one of the first things I noticed, I'm like, they had a logo in the middle of the ring.
Facts.
I was thinking it was gonna change like every match, or it was gonna change after, but that's huge that there was a logo smack dab middle of the ring. But Christian, to that point of us seeing things that we've never seen this year, what can you speak on about how this was different compared to WrestleMania's past?
Well, piggybacking on what CJ was saying, especially with the Triple H part, I think this is like this might be the first WrestleMania that we've had in a while when the fans, for the most part, got what they wanted in terms of who they wanted to win. And like this, like with Damian Priest, we all wanted that to happen. You know what I'm saying? We all wanted him to cash in at some point, get his belt. Puerto Rican as well. That's another thing too with the minorities, like Reaper Riley, she's Spanish too, right? Is she Spanish?
Who did you say?
Reaper Riley, whatever.
Rhea Ripley.
Rhea Ripley.
Yeah, my fault. Is she Spanish?
No, Rhea Ripley is Australian. Yeah.
Which one is which female?
Bailey. You talking about Bailey?
Bailey. So and then you got the girls coming out. You got Jay coming out and everything. It's just. I feel like everything's coming full circle, and I think Triple H is doing a great job of listening to what the fans want. Because even when we were watching it in the group chat, when I was on Twitter and stuff, I didn't really see no complaints about people saying he shouldn't have won, or she shouldn't have lost. Like, this is like the first WrestleMania I can recall that's happened in a long time. Because even when we were all freaking out about Brock Lesnar beating Undertaker, Vince McMahon swore up and down that was the right move, but we were all pissed about that. We were like,
everybody
had no business. He had no business winning that.
There
were mad other wrestlers that we were saying that should have beat the Undertaker streak, and we were like,
that's just another testament to how great Triple H is at this role, because he's doing a great job of balancing, keeping the fan base happy, but also keeping the investors and the board happy, which is just as important. You know what I mean? Like, we've seen how fast they'll get people out of their roles and pack them up out of here. Like, you'll get your stuff sent home to you in a Glad garbage bag. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's real like that. So, like, you know what I'm saying? Seeing that and just, you know, this, and again, even him, like, this is a guy who's coming off of heart complications. At one point, we were scared that this man wasn't even going to make it. You know what I mean? So to see him come back and to see what he's doing with the E and how everybody's talking about him, like the level of respect they're giving him in front of the curtain, behind the curtain, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just all of those things. It's a good time to be a wrestling fan.
And another aspect we could add, you know, a lot of it has to do with The Rock, of course, but the casual fan base was in full swing this year. And that means a lot, because the casual fan base hasn't been in tune with WrestleMania in a minute. They haven't been in tune with WrestleMania for a minute. Got mad random people that haven't watched wrestling in so long talking about they watching WrestleMania this weekend. They were tuned into who the matches and everything. Like, we haven't seen that in a minute. A lot of it that has to do with The Rock, but I feel like that's going to stay because of Triple H with the storylines.
Absolutely.
I think they did a good job with that.
The thing with Triple H, and I just want to jump in to cut in this point. I was watching WrestleMania. I was looking at the card, and I mentioned this. Shout out George 150. Just did a wrestling recap with him. But one thing I noticed, and Christian said, shout out to Triple H and CJ, is said we're in the Triple H era. One thing I noticed, I'm just going to run down this for you, and you tell me the theme that if you catch the same theme I caught.
That's fine.
Reigns, Rollins, Belair, Street Profits, Sammy,
People of Color,
DIY, keep going, Rhea, Becky,
NXT,
Corey Graves, Andrade, AOP, Killian Crook, that was one of the things that surprised me about the card. I'm like, yo, NXT is crazy represented on this card. And that's a salute to Triple H for seeing this a long time ago. Like, we need a development program that's going to have these people come up.
You know what's funny, Corey? A little while ago, like right before I sat down and eat dinner, I was looking in Suplex City, shout out to Will, and I saw a post in there that said it was something about comparing like Shinsuke Nakamura's run under Vince McMahon and all his accolades then to how he's being booked since Triple H took over. And like, I guess they were kind of trying to like play Triple H or whatever the case may be. And I didn't really engage too much in the back and forth, but the only comment that I left on the post and that I left it at that was, yo, Triple H is the whole reason that Shinsuke Nakamura is even in the WWE. He was signed to NXT first before he made it to the main roster. And his NXT run is smoking anything he's ever done on the main roster. So how, like, how dare you even fix your lips to try to play my man's? Like it's crazy. But that's that, I'm gonna leave that there. That's just another testament of how great NXT, and especially specifically in the Black and Gold era, how great that was. Like, that was, I mean, but we all lived through that, so I don't gotta deep dive into that.
Sam, that was WrestleMania was a Philadelphia takeover. Pun that's on a the fact. Words, all that included. That's it was a fact. Philadelphia takeover. Deke, to your point about The Rock, one of the things, of course, I was excited to have The Rock back. Of course, I'm an Attitude Era guy. That, one of the things I was concerned about was, dag, man, so we're going to get Rock every now and again for a promo here. But Dwayne Johnson smoked this whole setup.
Facts. Mm-hmm.
From
you that well, not to cut you off, is different this time than other times because he's on the board, so he has more control over how he's gonna fit, how he's gonna come. Like the other, I mean, him with Cena, that was amazing, but all the other times, like with him and CM Punk and stuff, like I wasn't really a big fan of that. That was like somewhat kind of corny in times, like him coming back and the storylines would be weird. He had control over how he was going to come back. And it was like a dope storyline. Like the final boss, the way he was, like, it was just dope.
Yeah, but you want to know what helped support that too, though? He was physically prepared. He Facts. Did not look washed in that match.
Facts.
He underwent the 12-week workout camp to get in shape. And he looked like it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that was my biggest thing with that match. I'm like, the storyline is fire. Because I've always been a fan of The Rock when he's a heel. Hollywood Rock, the fact that he brought that theme back, the whole everything was fire.
Facts.
I was worried about the match because I'm like, yo, if it's him being carried by Seth and Cody and Reigns, that's gonna look bad for my man's, and I don't want this to be his final run.
Facts.
Before we get into that, let's talk about the card. I sent both of you guys just a recap right quick. I'm going to do this different. Ask each of you for your match of the night, night one.
Okay. Deke, you want to go first or you want me to go first?
Oh, yeah, you go first. You said you just set the court?
Yeah.
Give me one second.
My match of the night for night one. I'm going with the main event, man. As much as I enjoyed all the rest of them, that main event was crazy for me. They went all out. And I like the old school feel of it. And shout out to I think it's Robert Roode and Michael Hayes who directed that match. But shout out to them for bringing back like that old school feel, like putting people through the announce tables, fighting in the crowd, like, you know what I'm saying, taking them through the arena, taking them up the ramp. Like that is what something that was missing for me from WWE in particular. A lot of other promotions, they still delve into that and, you know, they get crazy. But to see that in WWE, to see them getting a little bit more edgy with it, a little bit more, like, they had curses flying. Like, I liked all of that. I enjoyed all of that. So, I'm going with the main event for night one, man. That was incredible for me. So,
yeah, I'm with CJ for the main event. But you know what's crazy is the Sami Zayn match, IC belt.
Mm-hmm.
That match was insane.
Mm-hmm. When I'm not mad at that.
When me and CJ were in the chat, we were both heated about the Usos match.
Yeah, that was the only
match that stopped from everything else being perfect on night one. Like, if you think about night one and night two, everything's perfect besides that Usos match. Mm-hmm. Like, messed up everything. I don't know what was going on.
That Uso match was just them super kicking each other for 15 minutes, man. It was
Mania, man. Super
Yo, it was bad.
But like CJ said, that main event match was crazy. Like, Rock held his own. Like, he was in shape. He wasn't being carried or anything. Because I think all three of us talked about before, we were worried about that. Because his last match with John Cena, not the first one, but the second one.
Yeah.
John Cena was helping him out a lot. When we were watching and stuff, like, Rock looked like, this is not looking too good. He might need.
He also got injured that match.
He got injured that match. Yeah, he got injured. Yeah, he messed up his ribs that match. Yeah. So, I agree with CJ. That main event was the best match, but that IC match was crazy. Like, that IC match was insane. And I was happy that Sami Zayn won because I did not think he was gonna win. That's what I'm saying. Like I didn't think he was gonna win at first. I ain't gonna hold y'all. I didn't think he was
gonna win. Gunther beat his ass, man. That was when he started getting on the top rope and just doing splashes for no reason. I'm like, yo, throw the damn towel. Get him out of
here. Crazy, so you got the main event. We got honorable mention from Deke, IC title match. I'm gonna tell you. The opening,
Rhea Ripley and Becky.
Oh,
that was fire. That was fire.
For that to be the first match,
yeah,
and for it to be as fire as it was,
yeah.
With, I heard Gerard Broner say, Becky was sick leading up, and Rhea had a panic attack right before the match,
yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. So Becky has strep throat. Becky has strep throat the whole week.
For them to go out.
That's probably what I got right now. That's probably what I got right now.
But yeah, I like a couple of the spots in the ladder match.
R-Truth, boy.
I thought the ladder match was fun. I thought that whole concept was fun, and I thought it was a dope way of separating the titles.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that, but what I do like about the WrestleMania, and we know, like, you do your predictions that this is going to be this, and like Deke said, he wasn't expecting Sammy to win, so it's still that level of, all right, man, let me see what BS is going to happen, but being completely shocked that it's still good to watch, like it's still visually like, oh snap, that was actually kind of dope. Oh, I wasn't expecting that. I thought like this is going to be predictable city, but one thing about me in wrestling, I post Attitude Era, I've grown more interested in the behind the scenes.
Right.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
What's going on? Like, what's the storylines? How are these people doing? Because I'm more focused on how do you have such good in-ring chemistry to put on or display whatever you're doing. Right. And everything here, the background, the storytelling with the bloodline for the past couple years, Sammy and KO, the whole Judgment Day, even with Ray and Dom, like all of these stories leading up to. But the fact in your main event where The Rock came back and was supposed to be the biggest babyface to take down Roman Reigns.
And they listen to the fans. Remember, that's another example, because that wasn't the original storyline. The original storyline was they were going to do Rock and Roman, right, CJ? That was the original storyline. Fans were like mad pissed off. They were literally in Rock's IG posts saying that why you back? You ruining it. And they scratched everything.
Yeah.
And then Rock went hill. And they change like that's listening to the fans. That's another example, right?
That just, yo, bro, like you can't tell me that Rock is not one of the greatest of all time.
Yo,
like you can't tell me, yo, bro, somebody else at most other wrestlers in that position would have panicked. It would have got messy. Like it would have been, yo,
they probably would have went forward too.
He pivoted so fast and was so good at that. Like,
yeah, good, yeah.
Come on, bro. Like, and then I'm so happy that it's not over, because even after everything and after night two and all of that, when he met Cody this Monday on Raw, and he congratulated him and he gave him his flowers. He's like, listen. You know, you did it. It was almost like Jadakiss when he did 50. Like, you did it, baby.
Hold on. We are slow walking. Don't get to the end before we get to the beginning of the race.
We talk about night two.
We didn't even get into it yet. It is going to be, I know it's been a long time, CJ, but you need a show. Deke, I'm telling you now, get your shows ready. Only reason I'm saying so early in the show is because and what we're talking about, when I'm interested in watching, well, let me back up. My son just started watching wrestling on Monday.
Oh yeah!
Oh wow!
Fire!
Like Monday.
How old is your son? Because I'm trying to figure out when I can what's a good time for my son? Because my son,
that's
my
perfect.
Son, my son before. Perfect. Oh, that's you. So he's a little longer.
A little longer.
Yeah.
Like my son is six now, and he watches occasionally. That's because he saw me watching it so much that he, you know what I'm saying? Like, so.
So here's the thing. I never push to watch it because I would call myself a casual fan that don't watch every Raw, every SmackDown.
Right.
I usually watch heavily WrestleMania season. So like from the Royal Rumble on, I'm invested.
Yeah.
Right.
And every time I would ask him, hey, you want to watch wrestling? He'd go, yeah. But then it was time to watch, he'd be like, nah, I'm all right.
Yeah.
You want to watch? Nah, I'm all right. Him and his friend play Fortnite. So John Cena and The Rock in Fortnite.
Yeah.
And they go back and forth. Oh, The Rock is better. John Cena is better. So I actually let him watch both Cena Rock matches. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, okay. But he still wasn't messing with me. He was like, all right, my nigga. This is...
Right.
Monday, I said to him, do you want to go see The Rock? And his eyes lit up. And I was like, okay, I got an in.
Yeah.
Took him to Brooklyn. And he was excited the whole time. So he was like, Daddy, are we meeting The Rock in the ring or afterwards? I said, I didn't say meet The Rock. I said, see The Rock. But for Monday, for it to be his first time at a WWE event and watch the whole thing, the kudos to WWE and the storytelling. When we first got there, he wasn't really feeling it. He was just like, mm-hmm. All right. By the end of the night, he's on his feet. He's clapping. He almost got into it with his kid behind us because the kid was like, Rocky sucks. And my son was like, no, he doesn't.
Like, let's go, nephew.
I'm like, relax. But I said to him, I'm like, do you want to watch WrestleMania? And he goes, yeah. So we made a big thing about it. Saturday, Sunday, we watched WrestleMania.
That's
and
fine.
The fact that he was invested in every match is a huge compliment to WWE and their storytelling and their production and all the stuff that happens behind the scenes. I got here because the behind the curtain WWE thing that they're showing on YouTube.
Yeah.
We're getting into night two, but my son was so mad at the outcome that I'm like, I have to let him watch this behind the scenes. I don't want to tell him that it's fake. Just
yeah. Yet.
But because I want him to keep that emotion. I want him to keep how he feels about who he feels, whether he likes or hates. I want him to keep
it. Facts.
But I want him to watch that because as we get into night two, I'll switch it up and not ask you what your match of the night was. I'm gonna ask you what the weakest match was for night two.
I got an answer for that. I tell you, I got one for that. The weakest match for me. Yeah, I'm probably going with the whole Bobby Lashley and Street Profits versus the Final Testament. And that's nothing to them because the match was still fire. It's just when you on a card that's this stacked and the matches are that great, that match is fire. It just happens to be the weak link. I can't put it above none of the other ones. You know what I mean? Even LA Knight, who is somebody that I'm really not too fond of and I don't think so highly of, him and AJ Styles match was dope to me. I thought they did exactly what they needed to do and they delivered. AJ Styles' new theme music, fire. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like him leaning into the heel role, them fighting everywhere the whole promo week, making it really seem like they got bad blood with each other. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was just one of those things where that match is, you know, unfortunately victim of circumstance.
Yeah, I agree with CJ because that Bobby Lashley match, the highlight of that match wasn't even the match. It was Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg.
I remember Snoop Dogg's commentary more than the match.
He was hilarious.
I just remember Snoop Dogg's commentary.
Snoop is always like that on commentary.
Snoop had me crying.
Yeah, facts.
CJ, to your point, though, for me, it's the AJ Styles match, and that hurts because Goat J is...
That's your guy. I know that.
It hurts, but
that's my guy.
The storytelling leading up to the match
was fire,
but the actual match itself to me, and it may because like you, I'm not really
an LA Knight guy. Yeah,
I hate
I said it already. He is great value Stone Cold with Costco product Rock, a little bit sprinkled in there. Like, he's just, this is, he tried to bring them together, and it's just like, yo, you know, he's probably a nice guy. You know, it sucks. You know, it's all downhill when you got to lead with that. He's probably a nice guy, but he's just trying too hard. And I get it. You know what I'm saying? I get who he's trying to appeal to. I get what he's trying to sell. I get it. I get the whole thing. For somebody from that culture, it's not working. It's just not working.
I don't like to make my boy Gojay a jobber now. He came back just to...
Jobber, yeah. Took steroids and everything. him and Randy Orton, they both came back like 20 pounds more muscular than we've ever seen them before. And it's crazy. They both came. I don't know. They went to the same doctor or whatever. I don't know what happened, but they both came. They diesel, like, it's crazy looking.
If Seth is really hurt.
Oh, yeah, he hurt. They did. They showed it wasn't backstage, but they showed after effects of the Cody celebration, and they were all helping him and everything. Yeah, he's hurt. He's going to be sidelined for a bit.
Yeah. But he put on a fire, and CJ knows it's always a Seth, but
yeah,
put on a fire match.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and we could say that because we told him that to his face.
Yeah. When y'all went to WrestleMania, I remember that.
Yeah, yep, yeah. In the tunnel. We'll never forget that.
Yeah, Seth was, yeah. But Triple H's point of, if you want to make something meaningful, you give it to Seth Rollins and you make it the hottest thing. There's nothing against Seth in-ring work. What I'm talking about is from a personal standpoint. Mm-hmm. It got nothing to do with his in-ring work because he's so good that it makes me be like, nigga.
Yeah.
It was fire, but still, I can't all the way, but it was fire. That was a crazy match. If he was actually hurt, this is the first time this has happened where two people have wrestled both nights, right?
I mean, since they've been doing the two night thing, yeah.
Okay, yeah, because when we were all in the chat, I was like, they're doing this again tomorrow. That's crazy. When I was speaking on The Rock and them, The Rock, but Roman and them.
Seth, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, I think it's the first. I mean, it's the first I recall. Yeah.
Man, before we get into the meat and potatoes of WrestleMania and the whole storyline, it's taken 2 years to put together. Logan Paul is surprising me as someone who's invested. I thought it was just for views and clout chasing, but he seems to be really invested. Even the video where he's breaking kayfabe and like,
oh yeah, Vax, yeah, the one we shared, yeah, yeah, Vax, he's one of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was losing his mind in the suite. He was losing his mind. I was like,
even him, shout out to him. I haven't seen somebody take to wrestling like that. Mm-hmm. Like how fast he adapted. He was supposed to be a one-off. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. That was supposed to be a celebrity appearance that, you know, he was supposed to be a Bad Bunny. You do a couple show up, you do a match, and that's it, you leave. And nah, man, he signed a full-time contract. Like, he's out there. Like, he's not ducking smoke from nobody. He's trying to fight everybody. Like, no, so, I mean, shout out to him. He's doing his thing. You know, I can't really say that he was somebody that I liked or, you know what I'm saying, enjoyed prior to wrestling. But, listen, Logan Paul, the wrestler, I rock with him. I like him. He's dope.
I heard someone say a long time ago, if they love you or they hate you, as long as you make them feel something, when it pause, when it comes to wrestling, like,
yeah, you do whatever.
You make them choose a side. Yeah. They're going to cheer for you or they're going to boo you.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's got people not like him and Dom, whatever they're doing.
Shout out to Dom. Listen, I like Dom. They hate Dom. Yeah. I like that they hate Dom. I like
it could be worse. He could be getting no reaction.
Yo, bro, listen to me. Regardless of how you feel about his skill set, regardless of if you think that he's privileged or whatever because of his father being a legend, regardless of how you feel about him, the kid is a workhorse. Mm-hmm. When they ran the numbers for most competed matches last year, number one was Cody Rhodes. Number two was Seth Rollins, I think. And number three was Dominic Mysterio. That man wrestled more matches than 90% of the champions in the company. That's crazy. And he's young. So that means that over time, him being in these working relationships with people like Finn Balor, people like Damian Priest, people like Rhea Ripley, people like his father, because regardless of what you see on screen, that's still his father. Mm-hmm. The ceiling is so high on this kid. One of the first things that Edge said when he was leaving WWE, they interviewed him and they like, out of all the young talent in WWE, who do you think has the biggest chance to be a legend? He immediately said Dominic Mysterio. That should tell you something right there. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is, he's so good at being a heel that people hate him, but that's the point of being a heel. That's why they booed guys like Triple H when we was kids. That's why The Miz was hated for years before he cut that promo on Daniel Bryan. Like, the point is not for you to hate me, but then like me secretly. No, you're supposed to hate me full time. Like, I want you to wish that I get hit by a car coming into the arena. Like, you need to hate me as much as possible. And he does a good job at that. So shout out to Dom, man. He's great.
I want to ask y'all before we get into the main event. Give me the one wrestler when you were younger that made you hate their guts.
For me as a kid, it was the person I hated the most was probably Kane, because I was a big y'all know I was a big Undertaker fan. Like, so when he I think the most angry the angriest I've ever been for a wrestling event was when I was a child watching that Hell in a Cell versus HBK, and Undertaker was about to win. He gave Shawn Michaels a tombstone. I was excited, and boom, fire went out, and I was like, "Who's this? That's Kane." I was getting so heated. It's just bringing back emotions now. Kane, he tombstone Undertaker. I'm like, "Yo, what are you doing?" I'm like screaming at the television, and Shawn Michaels pins him. And I'm just heated even more. I'm like, yo, this bastard just caused Undertaker the belt. What is happening? So I think that's probably the angriest I've ever been during a match was Kane. Like, I wanted to like really like do something to him. I like really hated that dude.
Yeah. I think for me, the wrestler that I hated the most as a kid, there's been a few of them. I think early on, like early in my wrestling days, and this is going to surprise a lot of people, but I hated Vampiro from WCW. Like, I hated Vampiro. And I hated Vampiro. I'll tell you why. I always been a WWE guy, and I always like dabbled in like other promotions and little things. But when I got into WCW and like started watching and like figuring out all those characters and getting into that, I got into that late. And it was around the time where him and Sting was feuding with each other. And, like, they was having the whole, like, I wear face paint. No, I wear face paint. So I got to make you bleed. Nah, I got to make you bleed. And it was just like, yo, I hate this vampire, like, fake guy. And then, but by standard, the guy I always hated was Kurt Angle, yo. I hated Kurt Angle.
Really? I hated Kurt
Angle for years. Before I became a teenager and understood wrestling at the next level up from where your kid is at right now, I hated Kurt Angle, for real. Like,
who was? I'm sitting there, and I have a bunch of names that I hate.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of
But the one that, man, I really dislike Yokozuna.
Wow, yeah, that's a good one.
I didn't have no beef with Yoko.
Nah, man. Bret Hart was my guy. And
oh yeah, you love Bret Hart, right?
When he did that bonsai drop on Bret Hart, I was like, nah, man. He killed this nigga. He killed him. But I remember being so mad at that moment of being like, yo, why would you do this? Why would you? Why? But that just speaks to the heel work that happened, and piggybacking off heel work leading up to this main event, night two, we've seen the best character arc switch from Roman, the savior of WWE, where people hated his matches. CJ, you were there. They threw
acknowledge
beach
him.
Balls.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
In New Orleans. Mm-hmm. No one watched the match. They threw beach balls.
They booed them so much that the boos got edited out of the broadcast. That's we crazy. Were there, so we heard and we saw. Yeah, they that was different.
The fact that he's made this historic run of 1300 plus days as a champion, and every night made you hate him more if you were on the other side. It got to a point where I was like, I don't know if I hate Nick. I'm just enjoying the ride. Pause.
Nah, you want a hot take? You want a hot take? I'll tell you right now. Cody been champion for less than a calendar week. I want them to give it back to Roman already. You finish the story. I don't even care no more.
And don't forget, Roman came doing all this. He came back from, what he had, leukemia, right?
Leukemia.
That's another crazy thing. You know what I'm talking about? So, yeah, salute to him. Y'all know I ain't a big fan of dude, but salute to him. Salute to him, for real.
But now, to Corey's point, that's because – anybody who was who's a wrestling fan and been around for his original run, but he was still holding on to the Shield music and facts. Dressing up in the Shield gear and you know, doing the stupid Superman punch and Superman jerking punch. Off his arm in the ring before he did it, like that, he was it was bad. So everybody was begging for something to happen to this guy. Like, all right, if this is what y'all pushing and this is what y'all gonna give us, at least give him some type of edge or something to make him more, like, you know what I'm saying, either enjoyable or to make us hate him. Like, and they did a great job of letting him do that for himself. Like, that was probably the best heel turn of all time in terms of what a heel is supposed to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
One of the things that this is credit to Roman, but also because Deep mentioned they gave us what we wanted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In years past, we wanted Cena to turn heel, and they never did.
No, man, we never got that. It's crazy.
They gave us a glimpse of it in that masterclass that he did with Bray Wyatt.
Bray Wyatt. That was crazy, son. That was so fine. Yep.
For them to make Roman heel,
yep.
And it was like, oh, this is the Make-A-Wish guy. This is the suit and tie. Like, cheesing. I wanted to slap the smile off Roman at one point because he was always smiling. He was always happy. That Royal Rumble where he won and The Rock came out and they still booed him, I was like, oh, they do not like this nigga. But for him and Cody to put on a match that they put on night two of WrestleMania.
Amazing.
I saw a tweet that said, I've never done cocaine, but I'm sure it hits like the last 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah.
I was crying. Yeah. Yo, there were mad crazy tweets during that match. I was rolling. I kept going from the chat to Twitter. I kept going back and forth from the chat to Twitter.
Yeah, that match crazy. That match, I was actually struggling to stay active in the chat because I was invested in it. You know what I mean? Like, I was too busy enjoying what was happening. Like, it was
I was typing gibberish near the end. Remember that? I couldn't the spell check was killing me. I was like,
you knew it was real because my girl doesn't watch wrestling. Like, you know what I mean? Like, she doesn't. Yo, she was fully invested with me. Like, she was dying for Cody to win by the end of it. And I'm just like, yo, you know what I'm saying? She went into it blind. She didn't know any of the backstory. I tried to give her a little quick breakdown, but that just goes to show how great it was. Like, it's like, crazy, yo. They tore it down like on every level, bro.
There were wrestlers from backstage when they came out to congratulate Cody. They were crying.
It's that layered storytelling. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, you know, Roman being that bad of a bad guy, like, you know what I'm saying, but being that good of being a bad guy. Like, this guy held the title for 1300 plus days. He's at the top of the game. He beat everybody who he should have beaten. And then it's like Cody, who is the guy that started and, you know, had humble beginnings.
His journey years,
had many character changes, went, did his own thing, built himself. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, Stardust, like, you know what I'm saying? Mad craziness. But, you know, actually went from undesirable to undeniable.
Facts.
Came back, grinded, won the Royal Rumble, lost last year, like, got smoked last year. Came back, won again. You know what I mean? Feuded with The Rock, got his ass whooped again, like bleeding by the tour bus, like all that. Your daddy never won the title. He kind of did, but they took it from him. Like, you know, like all of it was just like, but it to all culminate and, you know, come to that, and that be the boiling point and how it ended. It's, you know, as silly as it may sound to somebody who doesn't watch wrestling or isn't invested or doesn't really know what we're talking about. Anybody who has any, you know, feeling of self and, you know what I'm saying, has any story that can relate to that, finishing something that a loved one never really got the opportunity to finish, and you know what that would mean to them. And if you could connect even on that level, that's amazing to see, man. That is great. Like, that's inspiring. That's all of those things. You know what I mean? And I'm not the biggest Cody supporter. I call him Captain Crunch in the chat maybe 3-4 times a week, but you can't deny how great that was to see.
Crazy facts, yo.
Fam, every entrance got bigger and bigger,
facts,
and bigger and bigger. Like, but the fact that they still were so dope, like the match itself. It started like almost 9:45, 10 o'clock. And everybody
Like, we were like, yeah, this is going to be crazy. I remember I texted on the chat. I was like, yo, it's only 9:45. This match is about to be, this match is about to be crazy. It's only 9:45. This match is about to be
ridiculous. Yo, let me tell you something.
I kept screaming. I was like, John, because I already knew about Cena. Well, I kept saying Cena was going to be there. I was like, yo, where is Cena at?
Yo, let me tell you something. Because I'm about to give this man his flowers again on this pod. When you're talking about entrances and getting better and better and better, you got to, yo, what they did with The Rock's entrance, bro, every week he was adding something to it. And it was more over the top. And it kept getting better and better and better. And then it finally came to his entrance to his match. And when I saw the fire come on the stage, I was like, yo, nah. I was like, yo. And then I saw him come out and what he was wearing. I'm like, yo, this man got on bell bottoms, bro. Like, yo, you can't tell me about Sauce right now. He's killing it. Like,
he wanted to be a matador so bad.
The bedazzled vest, the bedazzled Versace vest with the roses on it, that went crazy. Like, what? I'm throwing that on and we going to learn salsa. Like, we going to learn merengue or something.
Yeah, he was definitely bugging, and wardrobe, they did him dirty. But shout out to WWE and WrestleMania, biggest of all time. But speaking of getting beat down in WrestleMania,
here comes Segway King. Let's do it. All right, I already knew this was coming. Let's get it.
Somebody else was fighting for the past couple weeks. We thought we were getting what is 10 years in the making.
10 years in the making. Yes.
Listen, man, he's, you know what?
Talk about storytelling. We thought we were getting the Titans. The three people who were deemed to be at the top of the list, we thought we were getting what we wanted to see. This triple threat, winner take all.
Nah, this tech, this is a handicap. This was going to be a handicap. He was going to go against both.
Let me tell you something. Kendrick
Lamar was about to go against a handicap match. We was ready.
Let me tell you something, ready. Man. All right.
He was ready for handicap match. It's all good.
I'm right. He let me down. Let me tell you this. Let me just say this as a J. Cole fan, man. I and probably one of the biggest J. Cole fans you're ever gonna see in your life. This whole time, we thought that he was battling Kendrick. But in reality, he was battling his identity and his self, my brother. All right. And unless you have a spiritual and deep connection of self, I don't expect you to understand that and what that looks like.
Some of my boys, I told y'all in the chat, some of my boys on their timeline, that's what they were doing. They was,
you know,
doing,
what? Let's just, you know what? Pieces. No, but let's get to it, because I'm end this right here. Let's stop with the whole he's scared and he's all of that. Let's kill that narrative, because if he was scared, it wouldn't have been a record in the first place.
No, that's he was scared. CJ, he was scared.
I'm not going with that. I'm gonna tell you why. One, let's be honest. And Deacon, you a Kendrick fan. Let's be honest here.
Yeah.
What are the chances of Kendrick even responding to that record?
Very
He's
high.
Never done that in his career.
Because nobody called.
Let's not do that. Kendrick has been called out plenty of times.
Wait, hold on. I forgot to put the link in the in the chat.
Do you want to know why? Because there is no link.
There's no link. So Jay Electronica, Lupe Fiasco.
Okay.
And there was another person, but all these people have taken shots at Kendrick and have apologized.
All right. I saw that.
You saw that.
Because they know. But you want to know also? I'm going to say this, though. Because I called them out in their comments for it plenty of times. Complex. And, you know, this is a family-friendly show, so I'm not gonna go crazy with it, but Complex does a lot of oral stimulation when it comes to Kendrick and how he moves. All right, there's a lot of oral satisfaction that they grant this man on a regular basis, and Complex in particular, they tend to leave things out to fit narratives too, because there's been plenty of rappers who have called Kendrick out that he didn't address. He never responded to King Los, even though he said that he had the best response to Control. And that's a long-standing beef, because King Los said that Kendrick even bit his flow at one point, which, I mean, I kind of get it.
It's
whatever.
King Los, though. We've talked about this.
But this is what I'm saying. Even deeper. And J. Cole responded to Control years ago. He never responded to that.
I can't even scream. Because my voice is messed up.
He never responded to that.
That thing has like 2,000 views.
So what? No, that song was on the radio. That song was on. You can't talk about, listen, if you can't talk about the audience and nothing like that. A response is a response. If you diss me, right? If you diss me and I respond and only 12 people hear it, I responded. You still got to respond.
No.
You can't move the goalpost for Kendrick.
Hold on. I'm going to do this. And CJ, you asked me if I had something planned, and I do. So in the spirit of it never not being how it appears, Deke.
Yo.
I want you to rep at this moment J. Cole in his response to Kendrick.
What do you mean?
I want you to be J. Cole's representative for his 7-minute drill response to Kendrick. And CJ,
okay,
I want you to rep Kendrick in his response to First Person Shooter, which brings the Like That record to the front of the congregation. But Deke,
that's gonna be difficult. Okay.
I know this, but I believe both of you.
Let's do it.
Deke, you're repping J. Cole, but it starts with CJ, who has to rep Kendrick and his response to First Person Shooter. So CJ, as the representative for one Kendrick Lamar, once he heard First Person Shooter, how do you think, what headspace do you think it put him in?
My client is just a bitter and jealous nigga 24 hours out the day, 7 days a week. I have never in the history of niggadom have ever seen a nigga go forward and diss niggas who was bigging him up on the record. this man is bitter and a menace and needs to go with Andre 3000 and learn how to play the flutes in the Himalayan mountains for his next album that he's going to make us wait 5 years for. All right. That's how I feel about Kendrick's response. Cause yo, let's keep it a buck. There's no legitimate reason for this beef. Like these dudes don't have beef. Like, so what is the reason for you? And then you could have said fuck Drake. You could have said fuck the record. You went and said fuck the big three after being included in the big three. Like nah, I'm not fucking with none of y'all. Like, but then it's like to say that. Cool. If you said that and you were standing on your own and you said that and went and clicked up with other people, so it's hard for me to understand and defend that because I don't know.
You're repping this. This is your client here.
Yeah, but this is hard for me. All right, I'm gonna say this. Right,
the whole office of Morales is about to be closed.
I'm gonna say this. If I had to defend Kendrick and I had to rationalize this somehow. The only way that I could is by saying there's been a long-standing issue between me and Drake, and now you being my friend or supposedly my friend or whatever, you standing too close to somebody that I have a known issue with while talking and discussing me and including me in whatever it is y'all have. So I don't like that. I'm gonna go do a record with Kendrick. I mean, with Future and talk about that. That's the only way I can rationalize that.
Deke, you have now the task of answering the question of why we have the apology heard around the world when your client had everybody on their feet waiting for a response to the boogeyman. Floor is yours.
So pretty much my client did an apology because he knows of the history between him and Kendrick. He even put in a good word for Kendrick to get signed by Dr. Dre. They've been friends for over a decade. So he was kind of like taken aback, especially considering the fact in the 7-minute drill when he tried to badmouth Kendrick's albums. He knows he's a fan of those albums, so he knows he was lying, and he felt bad about it. So it didn't sit right with his spirit, because the type of music that Kendrick makes, that's the type of music that Cole makes. So he's pretty much trying to downplay the same type of music that they both make. So it didn't sit well with his spirit. That's why he couldn't sleep for two nights. Felt bad about it. That's why he apologized, and he's gonna sit back and let Drake and Kendrick fight that out, and he's going to sit back and relax.
I'm going to ask you guys to now take off your lawyer hats, and I'm going to speak for the future. What does this mean? Christian, you go first. What does this mean for Kendrick now that this apparently is not going anywhere? Because he still got one more person to worry about. But what does this mean for Kendrick going forward?
Well, I think we've been talking about it in the chat. I think in terms of tiers, I think Kendrick, Drake, and Cole are on the same tier. I think in terms of sales, Drake surpasses all of them, of course. But in terms of the overall body of work, they both do a lot in terms of sales. They both outsell arenas, world tours, everything. So in terms of level of tier, if Kendrick Lamar loses against Drake, that can affect him moving forward, where he is regarded as a top rapper, sales, everything. I think it had a huge impact. I think the same for Drake. I think depending on who loses his battle, it's going to affect him. I think the same thing with Cole. I think him apologizing, because I think CJ can agree, there are diehard Cole fans who are so pissed off about J. Cole apologizing that they don't want to listen to his music anymore.
All right, I'm not that far. I'm not that far with it, but I get it. I get it.
There are people who don't want to support his music anymore. That's how serious they are about him apologizing.
All right, wait. It's before we continue, before we go there, let me just say this, right?
Yep.
Let me say this. All right, I'm gonna ask both of you this, and we'll keep it short. What do you think is Kendrick's, or what do you think is the reason behind Kendrick's issue with Drake?
No, he doesn't have an issue with Drake.
He does. He does. Kendrick.
Look, I'll let you because there's past interviews where he constantly has said that on a personal tip, he got nothing but love for them. But in terms of hip hop, he thinks he's the best. So if any one of them that they think that they at the top, he wants to bite their head off. He's in a competition way. He said this numerous times in interviews. Not a personal, and a competition wise, Kendrick thinks he's the best. So when he's seeing Cole and when he's hearing Drake calling himself Michael Jackson, saying he's better than everybody in the game and nobody can see him, Kendrick wants that. He's like, yo, put that to the test. I want to see if you think you're the best. Come see me. That's been happening since the Control verse. That's been happening since the BET site.
All right, but here's my thing with that, right? Here's my issue with that in particular.
Got you.
Kendrick is ass-betting even saying that, because when he had let's not even talk about the tier that we're talking about right now, right? Kendrick had an issue with another rapper that I happen to be a fan of by the name of Big Sean. And these two issues stemmed from the Control record. Mm-hmm. You know, Sean felt like his verse was still better, even though Kendrick did the whole shock value thing and went that route with it. I agreed. Some others do, others don't. It was a heavy topic of debate. Mm-hmm. Fast forward to DJ Khaled's album. I think it was something, I forgot which one it was, but they had another collaboration. Kendrick and Sean on the same record. Yeah. Nobody extra this time. No bells and whistles.
Yeah.
Straight my verse versus your verse. Myself and many others feel like Big Sean smoked him after that.
Yeah.
But it soured the relationship somewhere.
Yeah, because Kendrick dissed him on Humble.
Exactly.
Humble was
And he subbed him on Humble.
Yeah. Yep.
Kendrick then went on the Black Panther soundtrack. And he was recording that and Damn around the same time period, and went as far as to diss Sean on a record, but never released it. We only got that verse and that version of the song maybe a year ago. So you can't say that you out here looking for competition and you still like guys and it's just a competition level when someone is competing against you and you get cooked like that to the point where you feel you want to make a diss record, but you never drop it. You either going to be the guy who raps with whoever wants to rap with you to prove that you're the best, or you're going to be the guy that looks just like a hater and bitter and you only want to come out when somebody's doing something. Kendrick doesn't, to me, Kendrick, and I'm a little biased when it comes to this, but it doesn't apply to this. To me, Kendrick doesn't drop frequently enough for somebody to throw his name in the ring as far as I want to compete with the best. Yeah, you drop excellent bodies of work whenever you do drop. But you're not active how a J. Cole or a Drake or a Future or none of those guys that you want to compete with are. So if you're sitting on bars for 5 years, I expect you to come back and drop a bomb.
I'll push back on your point by saying, if from my first record, Good Kid, we'll call his first record, because Section 80 and the other ones before that. But if we're looking at Good Kid as his first actual music album release, and the conversation being, oh nah, these three, there's something up, there's no real clear cut at who's number one. It's either one, it could be this person on Monday, it could be this person on Wednesday, it could be this person on Saturday. I don't think the time frame in which you drop albums takes your name out of that conversation. If every time you drop an album, people are like, oh, well, it's this person until the next person decides to put out a record.
Mm-hmm.
And my only beef with Kendrick is that on American Dream, when Jeezy put him and J. Cole on the track, J. Cole showed signs of, nah, I'm not hearing that. It's these other two. I'm coming for the number one spot. Kendrick mm-hmm. got on that record and sang. Mm-hmm. And this is after
Control Pimp
Butterfly. This is after Good mm-hmm. Kid. So Kendrick is established here. So the fact that he got on this American Dream record and was just like doing a whole bunch of melodies, it was like, fam, this was the perfect opportunity to come back at Sun while y'all on the same record. Now, the fact that, well, to your point, Drake drops
more all the frequently time
than both of them.
All the time.
So mm-hmm. if your point was the goalpost, then Drake would always be number one because of how frequently he drops.
No, I'm not even saying that that's the goalpost. My point is being at least be somewhat or more consistent than you are for you to say that you want to compete with these guys instead of throwing the shots. And then, you know what I'm saying? You're not really throwing the shots. You coming out. It's funny because I seen fans in comment sections and they like, yo, this is Kendrick's formula. He comes out every couple years. He'll drop a verse where he's name dropping or seems like he's taking shots or whatever. And then he goes missing. And then, you know, whatever time later, we'll get a project or he won't drop anything at all. It's just like a punch and then you run it. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, that's why I said even with the Cole thing, you know, being a fan that is disappointed in his decision to apologize and all of that. But realistically, had he not, what are the chances given Kendrick's track record that he would have actually went and responded to that record, let alone in a week?
I think Kendrick,
you know what I mean?
I think Kendrick is still gonna respond.
I don't think, all right, I guarantee you this. I can guarantee you one thing. I don't agree with him responding. I don't think that that's gonna happen. Whether it does or not, I can guarantee you it's not gonna happen in a week.
You mean when Drake responds, you don't think Kendrick?
No, I'm talking about Kendrick Lamar. I'm talking about the fact that Like That came out, what, 2 weeks ago now? Two, 3 weeks ago now?
Yeah.
J. Cole has already responded. It's going to be this Friday will be one calendar week since he responded. That means he responded.
Kendrick.
Yeah, that means Kendrick sent the shot and responded to First Shooter.
Yeah.
1 week, week one.
Yeah.
Week two, J. Cole responds. I can guarantee you by week three, we're not getting a Kendrick response to the Cole shit.
Yeah, I thought we talked about it in the chat, but I said Kendrick ain't going to respond to Cole until Drake.
I think he's going to go at both of them. Even then,
unless the apology is like to Kendrick, like I'm not going to do anything now. But I don't know if Kendrick's going to accept that apology. He might still be like, nah, I'm
going to your apology can sit. That was cool, but you still got to catch these.
Yeah, he might still bite both of their heads off.
Listen, if he chooses to take that route, cool. I'm just saying Kendrick doesn't exactly have the strongest. To be honest, out of all three of them, and we've all said this in the chat too, the only one who is the most battle tested is Drake. Drake jump outside whenever, you know what I'm saying? Whoever, like, it doesn't, even if you want to jump out there and say Pusha T with the whole Adonis thing and all of that, and he lost that battle, cool. There was still a diss record that was sent in response to a diss record. You know what I mean? Drake don't really duck smoke with anybody. So, as a fan of hip hop, I am happy with the fact that, you know, if you heard the Joe Budden podcast, I am happy with the fact that he already said, and, you know, went out there and kind of confirmed himself that there are two diss records in both of their clips and they both nuclear and they both ready to go off. I think that's great because I think we can all agree that this is a beef that nobody's going to get hurt, that there's going to be no fatalities there, you know, aside from people's reputations and whatever and whatever speculation that fans do. So I think that's great. And I think that's great that we're going to see that. But I mean, it's one of those things where, for me, if you're going to go at these guys and you're going to say that you want to be the top rapper, you got to be a little bit more consistent. You got to kind of match their work ethic. It's easy for you to jump out and say you want to throw your name in the ring when you're dropping something every 5 years. These guys are dropping way more consistently, way more features, way more bodies of work. So if you coming out after 5 years, you better have verses for everybody.
Because they've been rapping all 5 years. I disagree with the consistency point because that didn't stop Nas when Hov said it.
If your catalog, this is the way I look at it. If your catalog puts you in that conversation, it is everything. What it is.
Yeah,
it is what it is. I mean, we talk about in the chat all the time. When we go back and forth, I have my personal views on certain stuff, but for the majority of the time, I try to look at the landscape of how they're viewed in terms of the landscape of hip hop. In terms of the landscape of hip hop, Kendrick's catalog is favored. They look at him as an all time great. He's already, that rapping list that they did, we don't necessarily agree with all the names, but they view Kendrick mad high. They put what they have him like top five already. It's like they view him.
All right. But let me push back with that. Let me push back with that and say if that's the case and he's as adored, which we all know he's as adored as you say he is.
Yeah.
And he wants to be the best rapper and rap with these guys, then Big Sean, I think we can all agree, is not on the same tier as a Drake or a J. Cole.
Yeah, he lost his.
Why you ain't rap with him? Because y'all clearly had an issue with each other at one point.
And Big Sean
on that record, I think anybody who hears this song, and for those listening, it's the name of the song is called Holy Keys off a DJ Khaled album. I think anybody that goes and listens to that record will clearly say that Sean left him on that record. Sean had the better verse, clear cut. It's not close.
Mm-hmm.
And it went to the point where y'all had friction with each other, enough for you to step inside the booth and go and make a diss track. Why are we only hearing that for the first time years later? If all you want to do is rap and prove that you're the best.
So Holy
you understand Keys, what I'm saying? Holy, like it's
the Holy Keys came out after Humble, or Humble came after Holy Keys?
Holy Keys came out, if I'm not mistaken, before Humble. So Humble and the diss record
was Humble the last shot? After.
Huh?
Was Humble the last shot?
Humble was, but Humble's not the diss record. Humble is a
I know song. That, but everyone who knows now, he was on Humble, he was throwing shots all at Sean. That's what I'm saying.
But this is what I'm alluding to.
Mm-hmm.
The shots on Humble are not like the shots on the shots on Humble are subs.
Okay.
On Like That, it was more direct. You know what I'm saying? It was clear who I'm talking about.
And on Holy Grail, Sean is direct with Kendrick.
Holy Keys, I don't even think they was rapping against each other. I just think Sean had the better verse and that didn't sit well with Kendrick. You know what I mean? But this is my point. If you want to be the better rapper and this is all you want to do and it's the spirit of competition and all of these things with you, then you should have let that diss record fly.
Okay, got you.
You knew what that would have led to, and you knew, like, this is what I mean by the inconsistency added to that. You know what I mean? Like, it's only rapping when it's convenient from you. And to be, he might be more calculated than Drake is at that shit at this point, because he's doing great with it, which makes me even more frustrated. But it goes to that point. Like, you just,
I want to try to advance this. Christian, tell me where this goes from here.
So, like we talked about in the chat, I think Drake is dropping something this week. Joe Budden apparently confirmed it on the podcast. We were saying Drake got something, but then he said Kendrick got something too. So I think they both go to drop something, and the people are going to decide who won, and then whoever the majority of people decided who won, I don't know if it's going to be a ongoing thing, or I don't know. Because this is like the first time since. I mean, I'm not saying they're on their level in terms of popularity they are on the same level of popularity. But in terms of notoriety, in terms of bars and stuff, this is as big as Jay-Z and Nas.
I agree with that.
It's just as big as Jay-Z and Nas.
I agree with that.
So I'm just excited as a hip hop, as a fan of hip hop. I'm just excited. I want to hear Drake's verse. I want to hear Kendrick's verse, and we're gonna see who had the better verse, and then see what happens next. I mean, I'm excited. Yeah, I'm just overall excited because I'm fans of all three, and I'm just excited. I just hope all gloves are off, because like I told CJ, I think Kendrick's diss record is, I think he's holding nothing back. And from Joe Budden's podcast, it sounded like Drake's not holding nothing back too. So yeah, it's about to be crazy.
It's gonna be interesting for
sure. So my comments as we close this up, one of the things I'm disappointed in most is that I was waiting for this. Jermaine Cole has been on everybody's mm-hmm. feature. Just
asking for smoke.
That's what pissed. That's why those think pieces on Facebook made me so mad. I'm like, this is hip hop.
It pains me to say it, and I think the person that summed it up the most and like the best for me was Styles P's post.
Oh yeah,
and mentioning the situation because it's like the hip hop fan in me is disappointed because I want to see these two fellas. You know what I'm saying? You know, go at each other, and I think everybody wants that battle. Mm-hmm. However, on a personal level, and as far as spirituality and who you are as a person, I can understand the reasoning behind being uncomfortable with dissing somebody that you ultimately consider a friend. You know what I mean? Like, I could see how that wouldn't sit right on somebody's spirit. Regardless of, you know what I'm saying? And I think it is, you know, it does say a lot about his bravery and his character, the fact that he kind of didn't care about what backlash would come with it, which I think he had an idea of it. I think anybody in that situation would know that. So the fact that he still chose to go through with it and make that announcement and publicly apologize, I think that says a lot about who he is as a man.
Not to cut your wisdom off real quick. But y'all don't like that term? Yeah, I like that term. I'm gonna start using it. I like that. I forgot that was Lux. Loaded Lux said that. I'm gonna start using
it. Oh my god.
But what's his face? You think his rapping is gonna, I'm not gonna say it's not gonna necessarily change, but do you think his aggressive tone and how he be talking on features and stuff, saying he'll tie people's heads if they try to get on the track with him and all this other?
I think it's
over. I'll tell you why I don't think so, because you remember, here's the easy part, right? It's easy to do what we're doing right now and say, yo, you think that's going to continue, or you think something's going to change, or you know, it's the hard part, getting on a fucking track with J. Cole and trying to out rap that nigga. That's the hard part. Like, you got to remember, at the end of the day, he's still an elite level rapper. But you still got to deliver on a song and cook him. Like,
you hear me out. Like, when he cooked Benny on John P. Caddy, he was talking though.
Yeah.
The reason why he cooked him, he was talking like, if you rap with me,
that's the
dying. I'm Muhammad Ali. Getting you. Like, is he gonna be still rapping like that? Because it's not gonna feel the same.
Nah, but you want to know. But here's the thing, right? Why did he apologize to Kendrick?
It didn't fit right with his spirit. That's what
he said. But why? Why didn't it fit right with his spirit?
Because they friends.
Exactly. You think every rapper is your friend?
But in terms of like being at top of the game, if he's
listen, man. I like Cole's diss record. Listen. I think that it was fire.
Guys,
if you could do that to your friend, I feel bad for the guy who's not your friend. Now you're gonna do that.
This is gonna be an ongoing discussion because we haven't finished this yet, and this is probably part one of what will be. Because CJ's got
Friday gonna be crazy.
We have to come back.
I haven't stayed up. Like I said in the chat, I have not stayed up for an album since Jay-Z 4-4. I forgot when that dropped, but that's the last time I stayed up for music releases. I'm staying up because I think Drake is going to drop around midnight or early in the morning around the same time as Future and Metro. I'm staying up. I'm going to have my jokes ready.
This ain't over. Look in the rafters. Call back to wrestling. I'm in the rafters like Sting in the chat. I may not respond to everything, but I'll hit an emoji as I'm scrolling through the cliff notes.
Can't wait, of the chat.
But thank you, brothers, for coming up here.
Fire.
When I saw y'all going at it this weekend, I said I had to get this on a pod.
We're gonna be going at it more. We're gonna be
it's gonna get crazier.
It's gonna be civil war.
But I need to show a movie from you guys before you cut out.
Fine. You go first.
All right. So I'm actually going to give you a show that I watched recently, and then I'll give you a doc that I watched recently. All right. We'll keep it. So for the show, it's an old show, but I recently watched it. I thought it was fire. I thought it was mad enjoyable. And I thought the plot twist was crazy. It's a show on Netflix called Bodyguard. If y'all have a chance, check that out. It's like only 8 episodes.
The Whitney Houston one.
Nah, you would think that, but it's a completely other playing field, and the twist is crazy. Ain't no music in there, but it's a lot of crazy stuff happening. I'm gonna give you Bodyguard, and then since we doing wrestling and we recap WrestleMania, I'm gonna keep it wrestling. If you haven't checked out the Bray Wyatt doc on Peacock, it's called Becoming Immortal. I think they did a great job of summing up Bray's life, and showing how big an effect his untimely death had on the industry and his family and those close loved to him, those people that were close to him and loved him. And there's also a little dope teaser and Easter egg at the end of it. So make sure you stay through the credits. But yeah, check those two out if you haven't. Both of them are fire.
I got a movie and a doc on Netflix. They got a movie called The Testaments. That's about Moses. And that was fire. I finished watching that yesterday. So pretty much it's the story about Moses told like in a movie way, but at the same time, they go in a little clips from different people of different religions, and they give their perspective on Moses as well. So it's really dope because they were saying Moses is like the only prophet who's in like all who's talked about in all the religions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they all give their input, and it's a movie form. It's 3 parts. It's not long. But, yeah, I really enjoyed that, if anyone is interested in that. And then I finally finished the Nickelodeon thing on the crazy set. And that just pissed me off. I was, like, heated.
As 3 parents who grew up, we're going to come back.
Okay, fine.
I keep telling y'all going to be up here. So fine. Just keep me on your calendar.
Yeah, I got you.
Got you.
Mine is, as I said before, Behind the Curtain, WrestleMania. I have to let my son know that Rock does not hate Cody Rhodes because he was screaming, Mama Rhodes, he's going to beat the belt with Mama Rhodes. And I love that my son loves the heels. But
that's fire.
Thank you guys for coming up here.
Always, brother.
Always. Love it.
I'm going to keep this chat open because I'm going to be hitting y'all and I'll probably next coming weeks when these diss records come out. But get your excuses ready. I love both of y'all. Appreciate y'all, brother.
Love you too, bro.
Love.
Always.